Nemoto presents Theater for Beginners. Federico Garcia Lorca, Poetic Realism. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 9 minutes. Federico Garcia Lorca's theater unfolds like a folk song that turns into a scream. He was a Spanish poet-playwright who infused the real stories of rural Spain with surreal imagery and lyrical symbolism, creating a style often called poetic realism. In Lorca's plays, the setting might be a humble village or a family home bound by tradition, but the language and emotion soar to passionate heights, and fate itself feels like a character hovering just off stage. Lorca grew up in Andalusia in southern Spain, a land of flamenco music, gypsy lore, intense religious fervor, and codified honor codes. He loved the traditional forms, folk ballads, flamenco, deep song. And he once said he tried to resurrect and revitalize the most basic strains of Spanish poetry and theater. His major plays certainly do that. Often grouped as the Rural Trilogy, Blood Wedding, 1933, Yerma, 1934, and The House of Bernarda Alba, 1936, dig into the soil of Spanish society, examining passion, oppression, and the collision between individual desire and societal mores, with a mix of earthy realism and flights of poetry. In Blood Wedding, based on a real news story Lorca read, a bride runs away with her former lover on her wedding night, escaping into a moonlit forest. The jilted groom pursues them. Lorca personifies the moon as a character that lusts for blood, and death appears as a beggar woman. By dawn, the groom and lover have killed each other under the moon's eerie gaze. The imagery is potent. A woodcutter says the moon washes the land with its dagger of light, and the emotions are raw. It's a simple tale of love and honor turned to tragedy, but Lorca elevates it to mythic level. The poetry gives the events a cosmic weight, suggesting that the bloodshed is part of a larger cycle of fate and passion in human life. Yerma is the story of a woman in a rural village who is desperate to have a child. Yerma's husband is indifferent and possibly impotent. As years pass with no pregnancy, Yerma's longing turns into obsession and madness. Finally, in a shocking climax, she strangles her husband, killing her only hope of ever conceiving and with it, her hope for fulfillment. The play is grounded in the everyday pain of a childless marriage in a culture where motherhood defines a woman's worth. But Lorca weaves in chants, a chorus of washerwomen gossiping echoing Greek tragedy, and symbolic scenes like Yerma visiting a pagan like Romeria, pilgrimage, for fertility. The result is at once a social critique of how society's pressures can destroy a person, and a poetic lament on barrenness, both literal and spiritual. The House of Bernarda Alba, Lorca's final play, finished just months before his death, portrays a household of women in a small town. After the father's death, the tyrannical matriarch Bernarda imposes an 8-year mourning period on her 5 daughters. They must stay locked at home, dressed in black, with no contact with men or the outside world. But passion doesn't stop at the door. The eldest daughter, Angustias, is engaged for her money to a young man, Pepe El Romano. The youngest daughter, Adela, falls in love with Pepe and they begin a secret affair. The other sisters are jealous or fearful. The house becomes a pressure cooker of repressed sexuality, envy, and yearning for freedom. It ends tragically. Adela, caught and thinking Pepe killed, he isn't, hangs herself. Bernarda's final command is that Adela be buried as a virgin, maintaining the veneer of honor. The play is a stark condemnation of patriarchal oppression and the way it warps natural human desires. There are no overt supernatural elements in this one. The style is a bit more restrained, but it's rich with symbols. The glaring heat outside, passion, the house's thick walls, repression, Bernarda's cane that she strikes the floor with, authority and violence. It's Lorca's most subtle play, yet the poetry comes through in the rhythm of the dialogue and the vividness of the character's emotions. Lorca's plays were revolutionary for Spanish theater. In the early 1930s, he helped usher in what some call a second golden age of Spanish theater. They weren't overtly political in a topical sense, but they were deeply about freedom versus oppression, especially the freedom of the individual, often a woman in his plays, versus the oppression of societal norms. This resonated in a Spain that was at that time a young republic grappling with conservative traditions. Lorca himself was a symbol of creative freedom, openly gay, albeit carefully so in public, irreverent, a friend to other artists like Salvador Dali and filmmaker Luis Buñuel. He directed plays as well, including taking theater to rural audiences via a student troupe called La Baraca. Tragically, the dark forces he metaphorically battled in his works caught up with him. In August 1936, just after the Spanish Civil War began, Lorca was arrested by nationalist, fascist, militia and executed, shot and thrown into an unmarked grave outside Granada. He was 38. The precise reasons remain debated, likely a mix of his leftist sympathies, his homosexuality, and his prominence as a cultural figure. His murder made him an instant martyr of artistic freedom. During Franco's dictatorship, Lorca's works were banned or heavily censored. Yet they circulated underground, and he became an icon for those who opposed tyranny. The thought that such a brilliant flame was snuffed out at its peak is one of the great sorrows of modern literature. Despite his short life, Lorca's impact is massive. His poetry and plays influenced writers worldwide. One sees echoes of Lorca in Latin American literature, in the 20th century poetical theater movements, even in the songs of Leonard Cohen, who wrote Take This Waltz, after a Lorca poem. When his plays were finally performed again in Spain after Franco's death, audiences wept and celebrated. They saw not just dramas but a restoration of a voice that tyranny tried to silence. In staging Lorca today, directors often emphasize the sensuality and ritual elements, the pounding of drums, the vivid colors of Spanish dress, the heat and the night, but also the universality. You don't need to be Spanish to feel the pain of Bernarda's daughters or Yerma's anguish or the doomed love of blood wedding. These are elemental human stories told with both flamenco fire and a sculptor's clarity. The question Lorca leaves us with is twofold. First, what is the human cost of repression, especially repression imposed in the name of tradition or honor? His plays show that the cost is blood, madness, death, and generations of unhappiness. The second question is more meta. What is lost when a society silences its poets? Lorca's own fate forces us to confront the brutality with which authoritarian forces try to choke the life out of art and difference. Spain lost its greatest modern voice at that time, and the world lost a genius. Yet, in a sense, Lorca also won. His works are immortal, performed and loved across the globe, while the regime that killed him is long gone. In one of Lorca's poems he wrote, "Green, how I want you green." That longing for life, for freedom, green often symbolizing vitality, runs through his plays too. The green dress Adela wears in Bernarda Alba as an act of defiance, for instance. Lorca invites us to share that longing and to mourn those who are crushed for pursuing it. He asks, how many lives, especially women's lives, are we willing to entomb behind societal bars? And he asks us to hear the poetry in those lives, the songs of yearning, before they are cut short. Watching a Lorca play with its mix of beauty and brutality, one cannot help but be stirred to feel and to question, which is exactly what the poet would have wanted. In the end, Lorca's theater, like his life, urges us to cherish the freedom to love, to create, to be, and to recognize that when any system seeks to stifle those, it writes tragedies in the hearts of its people. Must blood be the price of denying human passion? Lorca's work leaves that challenge with us, unanswered and echoing like the final chord of a somber Spanish guitar.